Bears. Are you ready for some meatball?
Pitchers and catchers have reported. Teams have reported for spring training. So naturally, I am excited to talk about the Bears. I tell you, this Russell Wilson rumor story, it's not going away. And I don't think it'll happen. But the fact that there are people on the national level that are talking about it, it's very interesting. So maybe the Bears are trying to pull off a miracle here and somehow getting Russell Wilson. That would be a thing. So to talk about that and more about the Bears and where things stand for the upcoming season, Mark's going to be on here, Mark Jansen, and we will discuss all things Bears because it's always Bears season, especially here on the Meatball Composer.
Let me tell you something, my friend. Hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane.
Hello, Marcus, my friend. How are
you? Hello. I am good.
I should say, for the record, you're not Marcus. I just ad-libbed that.
Okay. Topher.
Yeah. Oh, that's how it's gonna be. All right. How you doing, man?
Chrissy.
Oh, me. Yeah. I've heard Chris T. You know, hey, Chris T.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're good. We're hanging in there. Got my second vaccine today.
Yeah, I might get mine tomorrow. My first one.
It was really weird. The whole time, all day, Bill Gates has been whispering in my ear to go buy an Xbox. It's the darndest thing. But I'm good otherwise.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine who he likes to troll the paranoid circles. You know, he said, "Yeah, the got the first dose of the vaccine. The only thing that hurt was them trying to get the microchip in. That was the most painful part."
Yeah, there's this weird bump. It's a tiny little perfect square right over here.
That's beautiful.
Our kid has strep, not COVID, so that was a weird thing to say about strep, but man, they knock strep out in like a day with the meds now.
We were going to record last night, but yeah, your kid was, you know, having a fever,
pretty high fever,
and these days, you know, we kind of lean into that a little more seriously than we used to.
So but we're good, we are relieved.
Good
talk. But all the Bears shenanigans.
Bears. Hey, and you have some breaking news, you said?
I have exciting breaking news. Thrilled.
Drum roll.
This is like the second thing that could make me happy with the Bears offseason. Rashard Coward will not be back with the Bears. God bless you, Rashard. Thanks for being a team player, changing positions, and all the stupid things the Bears asked you to do, which you're bad at most of them. And so I hope you go play for the Packers and tank their season.
He's not good. The Packers, though, they don't get bad players.
No.
They just
don't.
You know,
there was the game where they finally benched him, but he was on the special teams play when they blocked the extra point, and that actually came back to bite the Bears.
That's right.
He still managed to cost them. I thought the Bears did him dirty, changing position. That can't be an easy thing to do, but, man, he's not a starting – he's not an NFL player, and that is some serious addition by subtraction.
Yeah, right.
And this is now a Rashard Coward pod.
It might be the only one. We should tell him. Hey, we led our podcast with
him
you
on Twitter. Love the person. Hope you have a wonderful broadcasting career or something. I don't know. Go hang out with who's the guy, Adams, who's always doing the funny videos.
Oh,
now?
Spice Adams.
Adams. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Anthony Adams.
Anthony Adams. I could not think of his first name.
But he was a good player, though. You know,
yeah, he was definitely better. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway. On to the things that truly matter.
Well, there are some big things we need to get to. So should we start at the most important position on the field? Oh, wait, you already talked about Rashard Coward.
Yes, we're done.
Yeah. Check.
So, are you talking about the give me a heart attack if it happens or the give me a stroke if it happens rumor?
Oh, let's start with the heart attack.
Okay.
Let's start.
There's a lot of smoke. It's a little hard to breathe this offseason as a Bears fan. Watson?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
the greatest QB competition ever when the Bears acquire them both. It's the anti-Mitch Foles QB competition.
And then trade for Brady to be the third string. That would be, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess – beautiful. I guess we should talk about this on, like, a couple levels, like what's actually in the news.
Yeah,
who
well
– prefer what's actually more likely. But the news is crazy this week. And as of last week, you know, from when we stopped recording, we were like, hey, it's a pipe dream. And then Russell Wilson puts the Bears on his list.
Yeah, and in fact, let me throw something out there and then do with it what you will. But my preferred of the two is also the more likely of the two, in my opinion, that being Russell Wilson.
Okay, because of the player or the price that you're perceiving?
Yes, well, price for sure. I don't think he'll
be as expensive. Watson will cost you more.
Yeah, Watson will cost you more.
He should.
And, you know, at this point in their careers, I think we're – more likely to get what we would need from a quarterback from Wilson than we would from Watson. I think, you know, Wilson's been around longer. He's, you know, obviously older, but he's more polished. And Deshaun Watson, we're still more leaning more on, well, he's going to be a great quarterback because he is going to be a great quarterback more than
he had a great year. He's
yeah. Great. Yeah. But
I mean, highest rated QB ever. He's already pretty great.
Yes, that's very true.
He's not Mahomes.
But the thing is, like, how many great quarterbacks have we seen lead a 4-12 team? You know?
That's a pretty weird year. I think I would be more excited for Wilson simply because I am projecting that he will cost, like, either a good young player or a first-round pick less.
I agree. Agreed, yes.
Like, yeah. If it's three firsts for both of them, but you can get Wilson for an older defensive player and some other combo of picks, but Watson requires Roquan, then I'll take Wilson. But to be clear, if I have to trade Roquan to get a QB, I'm doing it. But I'm just saying, like, in terms of trying to, like, think about the overall calculus here, I'll take Wilson because I think it's less expensive by a nose.
You know, but it's
Watson for 10, 15 years would be great. I think Wilson's also one of those guys who's going to try to play forever.
I think so too. And I think that's why he's complained about not getting the protection and why he wants to have more of a say in what a team's going to be doing.
And it does sync up a little better with the defense's age.
Yes, that's a big thing.
Then you're
thing
looking at a
too.
Hard rebuild if they all quit together, but maybe you got a ring out of it first.
I'll take a ring, man.
It does excite me more. And I can't quite tell why. I think the price is the big thing. Because, I mean, 7 years younger is a huge deal.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's really weird about the situation, well, there's a lot of things weird, but people like Wilson get traded or leave or change teams from time to time at that point in their career. You know, a hair older usually, but Joe Montana to the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Way older if you want to do Brady to the Bucs. Like, it happens. By the way, his interview on whatever late night show, absolutely hilarious. He was talking about when he threw the trophy. Did you catch this?
No, I didn't. I saw him throw
Brady
the trophy.
Oh, it was fun. It's like Brady has a personality now that he's not in New England. It's kind of fun. He was like, yeah, as I was getting ready to throw it, the one voice of reason was my 8-year-old daughter. She's all back there like, no, daddy, no. And I just chucked it. So that's pretty funny. But so like a 32-year-old, that's a little younger than when they normally would switch teams at Wilson's level, but it's not totally unheard of. As good a start to Watson's career as he's had, the idea that they'd like move him at 25 is just nutty.
I just don't see that happening. I think it's more likely he stays with the Texans and sits out a year, and then they try to do something.
So if I'm Ryan Pace, and I know you're Ryan Pace now, interview him on this. I'm Ryan Pace, I'm not sitting around waiting for the Texans now that Wilson is available.
I'll yes.
just take whichever one I can get.
And Wilson's better now. Would you agree?
Right at the moment,
yeah.
Yes, but it's really close. Okay. I think he might be a better fit for Nagy because he wants to do all the – you know, high flying stuff, and Wilson's deep ball is just amazing. And he's good at improvising. I guess they're both good at that. I don't know. Like, this is what's nuts about it, too. You're talking about, okay, rank the QBs in the NFL by what they are likely to do based on age in next year. Like, who are the best QBs in the league? Number one is still Mahomes.
Yes.
Is Rodgers number two still?
I think so.
Probably. You know, three and four are
Well, would you put Wilson as one of those?
Probably Wilson, Watson, and Allen in some combination, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the other older player, Brady's not top five now, although he had a great year. But, I mean, you wouldn't put Brees or Roethlisberger or – I mean, who's in that conversation? No, yeah, it's crazy that two basically top five QBs are maybe available. And then if you count Dak, you got another one in, like, the 10 range.
Dak. I don't want Dak.
I know you don't want Dak, but I'm just saying, like, it's a really crazy year. And yet it could also end up being that none of them move.
Very likely.
So when Russell Wilson puts you on his list of four teams, you get on that phone.
Yeah, and you got to wonder why. What is it about the Bears? And it's got to be the defense, right, that they're ready to win. And maybe has he had any interaction with Nagy at
any point? I think Thursday we were all like, huh, wow, awesome, let's do it. Why? Now we're starting to know why. There's been tweets and athletic stories and little things that sort of suggest that, one, he's ticked off at Carroll. So that's why he might want out, but he's not going to flat out demand it. He's kind of being like passive aggressive. It's kind of like, honey, I'd never cheat on you, but your friends are cute. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of like, it's a little weird what he's doing, but he wants to have more say in the offense and to be in a more open offense. Then there was another tweet, or somebody was saying it. I can't remember where I saw this. Apologies. But that was like, Wilson wants to try running the offense Mahomes is running.
Mm.
With Peterson gone, that leaves Nagy.
That's true. That's a good point.
And he liked how the offensive line came together. And he thinks, most importantly, this is the one I think he's really drawn to. And I don't mean this as an insult, because I think a lot of high-level athletes, this fits. He's got an ego the size of the sun. He wants to go to a huge market and become an absolute legend. And Dallas affords him that, and the Bears afford him that. The Saints would be ready to win a Super Bowl, and the Raiders would be legend stuff too. So, like, if you look at what's three out of the four, it's that fan base that's dying for a championship. And then you add the Chicago market on top of it and Nagy on top of that, and it's like, maybe for a high-end guy with a huge ego, this is exciting to him.
That's true. And he went to college in Madison, didn't he? So he probably made a few runs down to Chicago. He probably knows Chicago.
So where will he fit in the Cubs rotation? He's either a three-starter. Sorry.
That's later. Baseball.
I think there actually are not great analytical football reasons, but when you think about, like, personality and what he might be interested in, the Bears maybe are legitimately high on his list. I mean, it's a Schefter from the agent. We don't have to doubt the story.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, if you want to be a legend and beloved in a team by a team and a fan base forever, Chicago is definitely the place for that. I mean, geez, we still love Jim McMahon, who was mediocre at best, you know?
Yeah.
However, he did have a good postseason.
He would be instantly the best QB ever that they've had. He's finally in the 4,000-yard streak.
Someone sent me the tweet of
oh gosh, that was great.
Someone saying that Russell Wilson even talking about
Robert Mays
yet being interested in a trade put him in the top five Bears quarterbacks of all time.
One, Sid Luckman, two, Jay Cutler, three, Eric Kramer, four, Russell Wilson putting the Bears on his list.
That's it.
That was the best tweet of the whole.
Oh my goodness.
But that was an exciting day, because all the Watson stuff is like, well, the Bears are desperate, but tons of teams are going to want him. How are they going to pull this off? Never mind. I mean, come on. As much as we would all dance in the streets for Watson too, Wilson is infinitely more likely simply because we know the four teams.
Right. Much more.
If you wanted to break that down, Dallas still has to figure out what they're doing with Dak. There's no way Seattle can take a new contract for Dak plus the Wilson cap hit. That one makes almost no sense right off the bat. Same with the Saints. They're still waiting on Breeze, who's apparently working out really hard, and now it looks like he might come back. And they're $70 million over the cap if it's 180.
He shouldn't. So he held them back this year. Breeze held the Saints back this year.
Yeah. So if Seattle's actually going to move him, I mean, that's a put it in bold and 25-point font. If they're going to move him out of those four teams, if his list never changes, I feel like it really would be down to the Raiders and the Bears. And the Raiders could, of course, offer Carr, but then you'd still have that cap issue, and I don't know what his cap number is. Dax is going to be like 35. Wilson, if he's before June 1st, is 39. If it's after June 1st, it's 13 this year and 26 the next, which means they may not want to pay big for a QB. I could see Seattle saying, we'll take all that combo of Bears draft picks in a corner and Nick Foles and draft a, you know, QB and kind of rebuild with all these picks. And while their division is brutally good, take a couple years to reset. That actually could make some sense. It would buy Carroll time if he drafted a rookie. Thing has a chance. I think that. I know that's crazy, but it's not. It's no longer crazy because the guy himself put the Bears on his list.
Yeah. It's crazy that we're talking about it, though.
Good in navy and orange. Let's do it.
Who doesn't?
Oh, enjoy the Kool-Aid. This is the only time of the year where we can enjoy a sugary Bears beverage, right? Because we'll be all despondent when they're terrible at the quarterback position come August.
When Nick Foles throws his 12th interception in September, yeah.
When we run back the Jaguars, Nick Foles, Gardner, Minshew, QB.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, but, so let's say pipe dream happens. Russell Wilson is traded to the Bears. Yay! And I am one person who said, well, with this defense and Russell Wilson, they're contenders. But a very realistic thing to think about, and you reminded me of this earlier, is that it's not going to be the same defense if Russell Wilson comes. We are going to lose some good players, probably maybe plural players on defense, but at least for sure, definitely one of our stud defensive players. And that will bring the Bears defense down a little bit. So that's a realistic thing to add to the discussion here. What happens on the defensive side of the ball if Russell Wilson ends up in the navy and orange, my friend?
Well, you take your lumps.
What are those lumps? Tell me the lumps.
Kyle Fuller or Akeem Hicks, or if they wanted Roquan badly, but they got all those middle linebackers. That's not their problem. I could see Carroll being intrigued by Johnson or Fuller, and then they change Fuller's contract. Hicks could be moved or cut. Those are the guys that are – Fuller's cap hit is $20 million. He had one interception and didn't play all that well down the stretch. You're not paying him – he's not a Bear at $20 million next year. He's either extended for a way better team-friendly deal.
Okay.
That's the poison pill Packers thing when they matched it.
Yeah.
The Bears had to match it. Or you're going to do the same thing with Hicks, extend him or he's moved somehow. Quinn has not got any value. It's a terrible signing. Mac, you probably aren't moving because that's a huge cap hit and his production declined enough that you're not getting – that's a kind of sell low kind of move. And I'd love the star power idea of pairing that edge rusher with a QB that good and just like, okay – each side of the ball has a monster. Let's go. You know, it'd be less fun, but I suppose he's a possible. Eddie Jackson would be possible.
Yeah, you know, that doesn't bother me as much as it did a year ago.
Change his contract. That he's on the list with Cody Whitehair and Fuller for guys they're trying to renegotiate with.
Oh, interesting.
Because he had a bad year, of course. So yes, that'll be interesting to follow as well. But the point I really want to make here is there's still quite a bit of depth there. And yeah, the defense will take a step back for the first year, but the Bears have proven they're pretty. What's the thing Ryan Pace can do?
Yeah.
He can build a defense.
Yeah, his defensive draft picks.
They can never get the QB right, no matter who's running this team. So go get someone else's star when he's disgruntled. Seems to be about the only option.
Are you suggesting that the Ted Phillips stank only affects the offense and not the defense?
Well, not last year, but it definitely hurts the offense in the long run.
I mean, in terms of like drafting, like you said, like Pace has done a really good job.
Let's look at it this way, too. You're going to have to take your lumps to get better at the most important position. Agreed?
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. But,
I mean, I'm going to sound like Danny Parkins here, but honestly, any combination of defensive players, if they want less draft picks, fine. Have them. I just want to watch a quarterback who doesn't stink and make me want to pull my hair out. I don't know what it's like, Chris, to be like, oh, we're down 10 in the fourth. Oh, but we got that guy. Oh, they're nervous. Well, this is interesting. And to be like going into every game being like, our quarterback's going to be praised by Tony Romo the whole game. And he's going to pull some wizardry out of his hat and not go, is it going to be good QB or bad QB today?
Yeah.
To where it's like, wow, he had a bad game. That was really weird. That's the first time in 20 starts. Like, I would give them anyone on the defense to have that.
And that's how you got to compete in the NFL, and that's how you win. I mean, all the teams that are contending year after year after year, and we've said this 100 times, they've got that quarterback. They've got the position figured out and fixed.
The one counterpoint that gives me pause is we still have not had a Super Bowl winner with a QB making more than 13% of the team's cap. And I wonder where Wilson would be on that. Isn't that wild? Because Brady was just under that, and Mahomes was still cheap when the Chiefs won. It's a crazy stat. And that's going to change just because QB contracts are going higher. You know, like eventually that's just not going to be true anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't see how the Bears aren't like just pouncing all over this. And it sounds like they are.
Maybe they are. I mean,
it sounds like there's a deal up for Watson on the table too. And that came out of an NFL live comment where the guy was like, the Texans got to be careful because if the Bears get Wilson, that will drive the market down for Watson because the big team that they know is desperate, they can no longer use as leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this idea that the Bears have had an offer out there for a while, but Houston hasn't decided what they're even doing. So, but the Wilson thing has got a lot of smoke. It's just a matter of if Seattle wants to move him, because I think the Bears are going to be desperate enough to essentially not be outbid.
Yeah, and they don't have the draft capital to fight with other teams that could throw more high first-round picks at them. So.
And then there's the Jets stuff where people are saying they might stay put and just draft Zach Wilson. Why give up a bunch of draft capital if you believe in one of the rookies? I mean, I know they're just unproven, but the Jets are kind of goofy. They do weird things anyway. Both markets are going to be really interesting for these guys.
Would they keep Darnold then, or would they
draft a rookie and keep Darnold, I guess, and get the rookie ready as soon as possible? I don't know. There's just so much like out there nationally. It's just dizzying to follow. But I want to point out, when you need to make cap space, you can.
Every
and the Bears, again, a running theme of our podcast is they've got to balance the spending between the two sides of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great and it'd be wonderful if they could win, you know, with a dominant defense like they did last time, or the last two times, actually. But, man, that's two titles in, like, 80 years.
It's not how it works anymore.
Right.
You can't have, like, a totally awful defense. A good, healthy mix is kind of the idea now.
Yeah, they won four championships in a decade in the 40s. And who was their quarterback, my friend? During that time,
I don't know. You're the Bears historian.
Sid Luckman.
I figured it was Luckman.
Sid Luckman. Four titles with Sid Luckman, and he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league at that time. So it's even longer than, you know, recent history. It's always been that way with, you know.
That's true. That's funny to think about, like the meatballs on the Meatball Podcast. As I say this,
that's right.
All defense, running game to win a championship. Don't even take into account that they actually did have one of the better QBs at the time, too.
Yeah, when the Bears were
the Bears, the 2000 Ravens, whatever Buccaneers team Dilfer was on.
O2.
These are outliers. Stop chasing the unlikely thing and chase the likely thing. It's really easy.
Right.
And they are. To be fair, they're clearly trying to get one of these guys. Like they're going pretty aggressively.
That's been encouraging to see. That the rumors are that Chicago's all in. They're taking this very seriously. They are serious. So yeah, that's encouraging. It's like almost like we're watching the same games, which is nice to know. Nice to see.
But they still had a weird press conference.
I tuned in to listen, but I was going to listen, but they didn't broadcast it live anywhere. So, or maybe on the ChicagoBears.com, but I didn't check
they
it
did
out.
Did there.
I only heard some snippets later on the
screen.
Fill us in, my friend. What did you hear?
Well, Pace did his usual non-answer pretty much every time, but he did have a couple nuggets in there. The most interesting one was when he talked about all that he thinks there's going to be a bloodbath of veterans cut because of the cap situation. Pretty interesting statement. And if you look at it, there are like 10 teams that are already in the red and another five that are like 10 million over, which is not enough to do much unless you cut some people. I mean, Saints are 70 million over. If it's 180, okay, so it's 183. Now they're 67 over. Like, it doesn't really matter. It's going to be a pretty interesting offseason. And then he did say that they want to keep A-Rob. He's a good player and a good guy and a good teammate. And they want to, you know, keep A-Rob. But he didn't say, oh, I'll franchise them here after this call, you know.
So but why haven't they given him a contract then if they want him so much?
I don't 100% know. I have a couple of things that we need to clear up that are kind of getting on my nerves on the radio, though.
Okay.
And there's plenty of good Chicago media types on Twitter that understand this. So I'm just talking about the panic on the radio. Allen Robinson not being franchise tagged as we record this on Thursday the 4th means nothing. They have until next Tuesday. No one in the league has been franchised yet. They never do this until the last minute because they're always exploring all options first. Mm-hmm. They are not going to let him walk for nothing. I'd be shocked. They will either franchise him or put the transition tag on him like they did Kyle Fuller, and then they match the Packers' offer.
Mm.
And I think what they're doing, and this is my conjecture, they're getting blasted by everybody for not signing him sooner. And I would have been perfectly happy to sign him sooner to 18 to 20 a year. But I think the Bears are saying, well, we knew the cap was going to go down after COVID. And we don't think there's going to be a $22 million per year offer out there for him. So we're going to play chicken with this a little bit and play hardball with him and see what his market is and then make every effort to keep him after that. And he'll piss and moan and go crazy on Twitter if they franchise him. But that's nothing to panic about either. They almost never actually hold out, Le'Veon Bell being the exception. And for the people who say the Bears have screwed this up, that is possible. Because it only takes one team to give him the moon, right? But for now, I think their strategy could make some sense if they're expecting that lower cap to bring the market down and get him on a better deal. All of a sudden, you'd be like, oh, hey, that worked out.
Well, there has to be a reason. Because you can't say we like him and look at his production and all that, and then say, we just don't have a reason for signing him yet. There has to be a reason.
Yeah. And so as soon as I heard Ryan Pace say that, I said to myself, this must be because he thinks the cap was right around when they were talking about the cap and the cuts and everything, that he thinks the market won't be as robust as it was for receivers in August when you've got Keenan Allen getting $20 million, who A-Rob's a bit better than.
Mm. This is good stuff. You don't get this kind of content.
That's just my breakdown of it, trying to read the tea leaves and put some logic to it.
Well, yeah.
But the Bears are often capable of being very illogical, so take it with a grain of salt. But I think that might be what they're doing.
They can't be that dumb to just do nothing with him, acknowledging how good he is and how important he is.
Do you see any value, I do, in tagging him with either of the tags, franchise or transition, while you're figuring out the QB, figuring out your budget after that, extending who you can extend, trading and cutting who you have to cut, and then coming back to A-Rob and saying, would you like to play for Russell Wilson and the Chicago Bears? You know, like, why figure out the receiver before the QB?
That's a great point.
That could be another wrinkle here.
Wow, imagine him with a good QB, because he put up great stuff.
I definitely want him back. I'm trying to not do what the media is doing, some of the media, and just being like, they're dumb. Yeah, they are dumb. They give us lots of reasons to call them dumb, like the press conference in January. I'm not convinced this is one of them until we see how it plays out. Can we just chill out? I mean, Dan Bernstein was freaking out that Cairo Santos hasn't been signed yet. And I'm like, they need to bring him back. He had an amazing year. It's March 3rd, you know, like it'll be okay. Calm down.
Boy, where are we as a team when we're mad about not getting a kicker? That's kind of still depressing.
PTSD, where the P stands for Parker.
Parkey.
Right.
Cody Parkey. How can you forget that name?
I don't know. There goes
a
all
name
my
that no will go down in infamy.
My theories.
You know, maybe he saved us, though, in the long run, because if they win that game and then they lose in the next round to Saints or something. Yeah. You know, it's like
Hot take. Chicago should be thankful for Cody Parkey. Woo. It was blazing. Well,
when you put it that way. No,
Chris,
I mean,
Ortman.
It's like I would like an Ortman again, my friend. Well, look at 2013. That's the year where the Bears, Packers at Soldier Field. Chris Conte lets Reggie Cobb go down the field. Blah, blah, blah. Packers go. Yeah. Had the Bears won that game and gone to the playoffs, do they fire Trestman the following year? Probably not. So sometimes, sometimes a negative can be a long term. Well, but then again, we still haven't won diddly squat. So maybe.
I see what you're saying.
You see? Okay. All right. Okay.
Again, this is a cop out, I guess. But again, let's see how it plays out. If it plays out with the Bears are like way better at QB instead of Mitch for 7 years or something, then I'll be like, it'd have been worse. But we also haven't won, like you said. I just know there's way too much panic going on for how early in the offseason we are. When there are exciting rumors, let's enjoy them. I know they may not happen. I joke with my cousin all the time about how hope is fickle and she'll break your heart and you should never get your hopes up with the Bears. And then Mike Florio gets on the score and he's like, oh, this Russell Wilson thing has really got a chance. And then my hopes soar. It's going to be awful when it crashes to earth. But the Bears give us so little reason to be like giddy and happy. The Khalil Mack trade stands out. The Jay Cutler trade didn't work out, but at the moment that it happened, I'm all in for this QB stuff. Let's have some fun with it. And I think you can get to a decently realistic scenario where, at least especially with Wilson, that the Bears could actually be the team if they trade him.
Yeah. And hope, my friend, is a good thing. Maybe the best of things.
Bring your hands over Cairo Santos right now when we're still sorting out.
That's what I was saying. In
top five QBs. Like, chill out with the special teams right now.
I know. I know. And it's just, maybe it's a control thing. You know, you just, there's nothing really that we know for certain. So you got to look around and hold on to something that could maybe give you some certainty, you know, and when there isn't.
I mean, Burnsy was bothered that the kicker, holder, and long snapper were all free agents and that they may not even have anyone in place yet to kick field goals. It's like, it's March. Oy. The first week of March.
Oy.
I get the Allen Robinson angst much more, but I'd still say, hang on. If the deadline passes Tuesday and they don't tag him one way or the other, yeah, I'll be pretty ticked. But they're going to. And I'm not going to freak out when he freaks out on Twitter, which, by the way, he needs to just get off of Twitter. He's like insulting people and just losing his mind over there.
Wow. Yikes.
Speaking of Twitter, we do have a juicy nugget from the Lions Twitter.
Oh, yes. Hit us. Get us what you got here.
Well, you heard so the Bears had a press conference because it's when they would normally have one at the combine and they just decided to have one. So did the Lions. Same idea. At that conference, they asked the head coach what would happen if he and the GM disagreed. And did you catch his response?
I did catch his response and it made me like giggle a little bit.
He's the gift that keeps giving. Maybe he'll be like an amazing coach, but right now he's just one heck of a soundbite and I'm all in on the Dan Campbell era.
Campbell,
he said an alpha knows when to concede.
Alpha.
So he's not going to bite the GM's knee. An alpha knows when to concede. That is the goofiest thing I've ever heard in my life about. It just kills me. I guess I just think anyone who says the word alpha in referring to themselves in any way, shape, or form is already automatically not an alpha.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Or it's just like a D-bag or something.
So that's who's the – enough. Who's that's fine. Who's the alpha though? Is he the alpha or is he saying that?
That's true. He didn't actually explain that.
Is the GM the alpha?
I don't know.
I'm a little confused.
Listen, I'm a little bit concerned about the idea of trying to deep dive too far into this man's mind. So I'm just gonna say I don't know. But that was great.
It's a dark place.
It's just like every couple months we're gonna get this guy giving us a great sound nugget.
Yeah, between him and the new Philly head coach, I think we'll have lots of good content to chew upon throughout the season. And before, like you said, we're months ahead here, and he's giving us stuff. Yeah.
So, yeah, and then there's another one I just saw on their Reddit, two things. They have a podcast there, and the next episode, episode 332 for our listeners who really want to catch up on Lions football. And that is the Alpha Males Are Back. Good luck with that.
So they're playing along with it too. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Their fan base is hilarious.
They know.
But then on the Dan Patrick show, he was asked what traits the Lions are looking for in their QB. Now, you know, league rule stuff, he can't actually discuss the Stafford-Goff trade directly because of the whole tampering thing that everybody just ignores, but still officially he has to dance around it. And he said, basically, you'd like him to be blonde and maybe have a 1 and a 6 on his jersey.
Hmm. Okay.
Referring to Goff, you'd right. like him to be blonde.
That,
okay. Thanks, Dan.
So maybe he's looking at it as a, I'm going to, you know, stick up for my new guy who I got and not, I don't know. Could that when be I, what he's thinking there?
When I, yeah, he is.
I can't, like you it's said, I can't deep answer. Dive and figure yeah. it out.
But just because of the rest of his shtick, I just want to ask if he thinks he acquired Joe Montana or something. I love him. He's such a treat. That's gonna be, I can't wait for a game that they should have won where he just loses it in the post game. This guy has a 6-year contract, which means he's at least coaching him for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
He's going to give us a Jim Mora level, Denny Green level rant at some point.
The Bears are probably good for one of those. They've had a few of those over the years with the Lions. Win it in the last.
Oh, the Packers with the refs giving them the big fat assist. That would be an epic post game from Dan Campbell.
The Lions, who twice have been leading the Packers for 60 minutes and lost the game. Didn't that happen twice?
Yes.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. I think he will be violently angry when that happens under his watch.
I'm not going to just bite kneecaps in that case. He's going to
go all Tanya Harding on him.
Yeah. Oof.
So, yeah, I just had to share those little things on the Lions
that
to
is fulfill good stuff.
Our Lions Twitter Reddit segment. Plus, anytime he talks, it's going to be potentially talked about on this pod.
Yeah, we've kind of adopted him. Yeah. And I think that's a good idea to, like, you know, keep tabs on him, maybe check in, a wellness check. You know, he doesn't have to know about it, but, you know, if we're just talk about what he's saying, how his mood seems to be, you know, it's okay to, you know, we don't have to root for the Lions, but, you know, he can be our guy and we can,
you know. I'll go on record as saying if the Bears are not going to win the division, please let the Lions win the division.
Oh, yeah.
It's way more entertaining to me than – definitely not Green Bay again, and Minnesota, meh. But the Lions deserve something if the Bears aren't going to.
They do. I would have no problem if the Lions ever won something because, yeah, that's got to be tough. That has got to be
so tough. Here's another thing I just see now on the Bears Reddit. You know who Jeremy Fowler is, the ESPN guy? He's one of their NFL guys. You know
the name, yeah.
He's not like Schefter level or anything, but still. He says in their little clip summarized by the tweets, a source told me Russell Wilson likes that the Bears have an emerging offensive line, a solid offensive-minded coach in Matt Nagy, and the intriguing market in Chicago. Well, that's pretty close to our breakdown earlier.
It is. Holy cow. He was listening, even though we haven't broadcast.
Russell yet. Wilson's listening. Save us.
Wow. Yeah. That. So is Matt Nagy really smart and he just hasn't been able to show it yet then? Is that still a possibility?
Is Russell Wilson going to one day be a terrible GM? Is that where this is going?
Well, that could
the
be
the Bears
that.
Line and their coach. Like,
he's right though.
I did solidify, to be fair, but still.
We talked about this earlier a few weeks ago that the interior of the line does look pretty solid now.
And maybe he likes Leno with the starter there for a long time and knows they'll fix the right tackle position or suspects they will or something. I don't know. I just know there continues to be a lot of smoke to this one, and it's not so easy to dismiss as a pipe dream as it was last week, and it's not as easy to dismiss as a pipe dream as Watson is.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
It really is hard to imagine the Bears outbidding other teams for Watson, but when Wilson's only got 4 on the list.
Right. And when
the
other
Bears
teams
are the most desperate to fix
it. Right, yeah. Yeah, because you mentioned New Orleans and Breeze probably coming back, even though I think that's an unwise move on their part.
I don't think they're gonna, if he wants to play, then what are they supposed to do? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess so.
But maybe he'll retire. If he retires, then it's a different situation, but their cap is terrible.
70 million?
Dallas Dallas, should Dallas give up three firsts and Dak? Aren't they better with Dak and keeping their picks, even if Wilson's a better player? It's not like Dak is the kind of trash the Bears currently have on the roster. Same for the Raiders. Why would they give up Carr and a bunch of picks when Carr's still pretty good?
Right.
But the Bears are in a position to be that desperate. Good or bad? That's where they're at.
I thought if the Bears did trade for anyone, it would be someone like Derek Carr. But now we're looking at maybe Russell Wilson. Wow.
And Nagy will let him cook. Somebody else joked if he's looking for a coach who's willing to abandon the running game. No one has a commitment to abandoning the running game quite like Matt Nagy.
Very true. Very true.
He's the anti Pete Carroll.
We got to run the ball more. Well, coach, don't you have something to do with that?
I'm waiting for the tweet that's like, Russell Wilson has been intrigued with the Bears ever since Matt Nagy said, I didn't come here to run the I for him.
Yeah. Well, you know, Pete Carroll, though, he got a little pass happy. What Super Bowl was that? On the goal line, you know?
Yeah, when they were going for their repeat after they pummeled the Broncos the year before.
Yes. Yes. One of those games where
Marshawn Lynch. That's the thing, though. You don't have Marshawn Lynch anymore.
Yeah.
And anyway, let Russ cook. It could be fun. We'll see.
I like Montgomery, though, with Russell Wilson under center.
Yep.
You know?
I mean, I know it seems stupid that we've talked about this much tonight, and it's such a long shot.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And there's a lot of people talking about it, including his freaking agent.
Yes, nationally. Nationally, people are talking.
All that needs to happen now is he needs to continue to whine until the Seahawks have had enough and the Bears have to have the biggest, most desperate offer, which is at least passably likely.
And Pete Carroll seems like one of those coaches that would want to show that he could win one without Russell Wilson.
When
you're talking
coaches and quarterbacks, don't leave out the egos.
Correct.
That's going to drive a bunch of this if it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And if he did the draft picks thing, like I said, he'd be buying himself more time. Don't forget, he's the GM and coach. He answers to no one.
I did not know he was the GM.
Which is another thing I think Wilson is supposedly upset by.
Oh, I did not know this. That makes things even more interesting. That would make Wilson possibly feel even more stuck.
Exactly.
That being the case, yeah.
But he's so image conscious, he doesn't want to just come out and demand a trade. So he's doing all these other little things.
Yeah. Wow. Well, maybe when we check in our next show, which probably next week, there will be some development, perhaps.
I'm really, really hoping.
I know. That's probably too soon.
I don't know how much more of this I can take. Something needs to happen soon.
Well, yeah, and I don't want to do another show, you know, next week and then the week after. Oh, well, Russell Wilson.
This was worth doing because of the tweet by Schefter.
Correct.
Everything that came after it. Next week's show, it'll probably be that who's been tagged where and what's the free agent market actually look like now.
Yeah.
Because that deadline will be before we record if we do our usual Wednesday.
And then end of March, we got to do baseball pod. Yes, that's right.
How are the Cubs looking this spring?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. It's
sorry. Okay, baseball pod.
Wait. That's all right. Yeah, later. Although, can I – I do have a World Series prediction. Can I give you a World – I don't know about who's going to win yet, but I have a prediction.
You're already doing a World Series prediction. Okay, you heard one here first, folks.
The Dodgers versus Chicago White Sox.
Pretty standard. Okay.
Shut up. It was hard for me to admit that. Not the White Sox part, the Dodgers part. I hate the Dodgers.
I could see the Padres or the Braves knocking them off still. Somebody might. Yeah. Can we go back to the era when the Dodgers just couldn't get it done in the playoffs? That was fun.
That was fun. That was so much fun. And that's another reason I could see them not making it because of their past and how they should have made it all those times and didn't. You know? But they're just so stacked on that roster. That Dodgers lineup is where's the weaknesses, you know?
And yeah, they're stacked. And so are the Sox if this rotation holds up and they made a lot of good moves to fix the innings issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a darn good team.
Yeah. They're okay, but that's That's baseball.
Talent.
Yeah, very young. Very young. Yeah. That's baseball pod later. All right, sir. You got any other
Hawks
final?
Still don't suck.
Yeah.
Gainer with goal
Gainer. Gainer.
I was very interested in one of the radio conversations, to be fair, after blasting their special teams franchise tag thing.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being that Patrick Kane is the best U.S. born hockey player of all time.
Yeah, I mean, who would even?
I don't know enough about hockey, but I'm like, that's cool. I'll buy it. Done. I like this. I believe it.
Yeah, it seems like, let's see, Gretzky's Canadian, Lemieux's Canadian. That's to the extent of my hockey knowledge, but yeah, they're all Canadian. Well, what about Bobby Hall? Is he Canadian? Stan Mikita? I know these are Blackhawks, but they're old names I know.
I don't know. So many of them are Canadian that I think it's like, if they don't sound Eastern European or Russian, you assume they're Canadian unless you know explicitly otherwise.
But Kane's better than both anyway. Kane is probably the best Blackhawk of all time. I wish I could say it was Jonathan Taves, but he's out this year and even was kind of on the downward. The
last couple Kane's had better longevity at this point, certainly. Yeah. And the Bulls don't suck.
Bulls.
They're fun to watch. That's a high-scoring team with a legitimate star player.
It's time to trade Zach LaVine. His value will never be higher.
He's good enough to win with, though. The thing that kills me about that is, so you get a lottery pick for Zach LaVine. And then you're trying to draft someone who can score 25 to 30 points a game, which is what Zach LaVine's doing.
But you know that's how Chicago fans think.
I know.
We're dumb. We are dumb.
If he keeps up the defense, that was always the problem. He was empty calories, but now he's a complete player.
Yeah.
He's still got to get another star. Don't get me wrong. He's not going to win you anything by himself.
But, right.
Yep. It's pretty fun. Winter sports are a lot better than I expected them to be.
Yeah. There's Chicago's in a better place all around than maybe in a while, at least in terms of all the teams being not terrible. I mean, Cubs fans are lamenting the fact that the Cubs might only win like 85 games. Well, that's still an above 500 team.
Since we wandered here,
okay.
Let's end it with this.
Okay.
Does this make the Bears the worst team in the city currently, even though they made the playoffs? And does it make them more desperate? Do they care?
I absolutely think they care. I just think they're bad at trying to win.
Yeah.
But
I don't know if the Cubs are worse until we see the rotation in action. For real.
I don't think so.
Might be worse than the Bears. I mean, the Bears did make the playoffs, kind of.
Yeah, but the Cubs are coming off a division championship. I mean, it was a weird year, but I mean, they're the reigning Central Division champs. So, yeah.
Yeah, true. I guess for the next year, it's hard to say. But recently, you would say the Bears have done the best, the worst. I mean, now that other than the Bulls, but the Bulls are now on the right track.
I'm just saying, if we're going to give the Bears credit for making the playoffs, then you got to do the same.
Do the Cubs. Yeah. So I'm talking in the next year.
Mm-hmm.
It's between those two, clearly.
My two favorite. All right.
The Hawks bouncing back some. I'm sorry. I just wondered to know if that had any impact on the Bears at all.
That's a good question.
I think they would be very upset about the, they're the worst team in town kind of narratives.
Yeah, but that hasn't
And I don't think
before.
The Rickets would be. They don't seem to care.
You don't think so?
Not the way they approached this offseason. Come on, they penny pinched and got rid of all kinds of talented players, especially their best pitcher.
Yeah, I suppose
I think the Bears are more self-conscious about what's said about them than the Cubs owners.
I think that's probably fair, and that says a lot.
So go get Russell Wilson.
Get him.
And win the Warrior with the narrative.
Number 3. Done Super Bowl, my friend. All right, man.
Is that number retired? We got to get that back.
For the Bears, number 3?
Mm-hmm. Is that Bronco Nagurski?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
I think it is.
That's your homework for next time.
Okay, I'll research that and write it.
I can't even tell you who was number 3 on the Bears recently. Oh, that's interesting. Maybe it is retired.
It must be retired.
Huh. Wow. All right, man. We'll catch up later. Thanks.
Later, dude.
Hope is a good thing. Maybe the best of things. And no good thing ever dies.
Well, we kind of got off the rails a little bit at the end there, but good to check in with other sports going on in the city of Chicago. And yeah, the Blackhawks and Bulls are doing better than anyone had thought or hoped. Good to see. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Meatball Composer. Boy, if that Russell Wilson thing somehow happens. Of course, in a few months, I'll be looking back at this like, what was I thinking? I'm such an idiot, blah, blah, blah. But until that happens, I'm going to be hopeful and hold on to hope. Because hope is a good thing. All right, Willie, we'll talk to you next time. If you want to follow me on Twitter, find me at MeatballComp34. You can shoot me an email, themeatballcomposer@mail.com. And I might be getting a first-round vaccine soon. Yay! So if I start exhibiting weird, strange tendencies after that, you can let me know. So, thanks again. Take care, everyone. Talk to you next time on The Meatball Composer.
The Bears.
The Bears.
I love the Bears.
You've been meatballed.
Bears. Bears. Bears.